Amen. That is our prayer
this morning. May it rise up to God continually out of all of our hearts. Let us not be like those who are unwise, comparing themselves among themselves, but rather let us be of those who compare ourselves with the mirror of our Lord Jesus. That will take care of all the humility, won't it? As we gaze into His face and we see Him for who He is, what can we say except all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. I'd like to speak on this subject, the simplicity of Christ. This morning we want to get down to the basics of Christian religion. And that is in the simplicity of Christ. My heart has been exercised in this direction of this simple yet profound truth that the simplicity of the Christian life is in the simplicity of Christ Jesus. And Christ is all we need. He is our strength. He is our life. He is our motivation. He is our guide. He is all we need. And I know that we believe that around here. But having some doctrinal problems to work through in a congregation a ways away from here, going there we trembled to walk into the doctrinal controversies that were there. You remember we requested many prayers. We would have wisdom to know how to guide a congregation who has lost its way, a congregation who's having some struggles, some controversy over doctrine. Well, we thank the Lord that He is able and He does enlighten our hearts and He gives us the answers to the very needs of our life. And yes, they're very simple answers, whether it be problems in your home or problems in a whole congregation full of people. The answers are still simple and they're in Christ Jesus. It seems the Lord led us through the week to clearly and simply bring the people back to the reality of Christ Jesus and the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. I speak this morning with a very weak voice, so we'll trust the Lord for all of that. I'd like us to begin by turning to Acts chapter 9. As we look at this teaching of the simplicity of Christ Jesus, we cannot help but put our attention on the Apostle Paul, for he is the one out of all the other apostles that received this great revelation. He is the one out of all the other apostles that received the clear, the simple revelation of Christ Jesus as being the very foundation, the very center, the very hub of the Christian life. The Apostle Paul is the one who received this revelation. Therefore, I think it's only good and right that we focus our attention upon him. Let's look to the Word of God and just look at the beginning of the Apostle Paul's life so that we can see somewhat of the revelation that Paul had. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 3, reading down, we want to look at the Apostle Paul and his conversion. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Looking up here, he said, I am Jesus. Saul, I am Jesus. whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Looking down to verse 17, And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. Here we see the beginning of the Apostle Paul's life, and immediately he breaks right into the Christian life with a burden on his heart, with a vision of the reality of what the Christian life is all about. It was Jesus who he met on the road to Damascus. It was Jesus by where he found his salvation. And it was Jesus who came right out of his mouth right after he was born again, and right after he was baptized. It was Jesus that came forth out of his mouth immediately. He was on Christ from the very beginning. Which, by the way, is the only way to have a right beginning. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes just for a minute. Heavenly Father, God, I come to you in the name of Jesus this morning. Oh, Father, I don't know why, Lord, people are being distracted this morning. I do not know why, Lord, they are playing and smiling and looking this way and that. Oh, God, we are going to gaze on the glories of Christ Jesus this morning. I pray, Father, let us step out of time and into eternity this morning. For God, someday we will gaze upon this awesome person. We shall look into his eyes. We will look upon his face, the one who saved us by his grace. Oh, Father, I pray this morning, quicken every sleepy heart, dear God. Quicken every silly mind that is here today. Every cold heart, dear God. I pray, let them come under the authority of your Spirit, Lord God, that all may understand and know the reality of Christ Jesus in their lives. Oh God, deliver us from religion and set us so soundly on Christ Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So here we have the Apostle Paul, and we can see very clearly that his life was fixed on Christ Jesus from the very beginning. And I tell you, that's what is needed, isn't it? In the lives of everybody. Oh, you wonder sometimes who is a Christian and who is an ox. But I'll tell you what, the ones who get their lives fixed on Christ Jesus, they go on in the Christian faith. They go on and they bear fruit just like the Apostle Paul did. This meeting transformed his whole life. For 10 years he went on learning of Christ and serving Christ. Then he is called into his first missionary journey there in Acts chapter 13. And he went out into the cities preaching Christ, telling others about Christ Jesus. He was stuck on Christ Jesus. He knew he was the answer. And he went out preaching Christ in the synagogues wherever he went. 10 years later after that, we see him in Ephesus preaching Christ. He stayed there for a year and a half. A mighty revival broke out. Oh, they brought all their curious arts together and burned them in a pile. And here he is. We find him. What is he preaching? Same message. He's got the same heart. He's got the same vision that he had, that he got on the road to Damascus. It's not changed a bit. All it's done is blossomed into a beautiful flower that has filled his whole life. Christ. 10 years later, we move on down. We find him to be an old man. There he is standing before the council. What does he tell the council? It's Christ, he says to the council. It's Christ Jesus that you need. We see him standing before a king. He doesn't change his message. It's Christ, O King Agrippa. That's what you need. And I'll tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, that is the message that will transform anybody's life who will believe it. That is it. We look a little further and we find him shipwrecked on the island of Melita. Reaches down to get some to put some sticks into the fire, and a snake bites him. He just shakes the snake off and goes on and preaches Christ to those natives that were there on the island. Paul believed in a Christ-centered life. He believed in the simplicity of Christ. Turn with me just for a few moments. Let's read his heart in Philippians chapter 3. You see, Christ knew what it was. I mean, Paul knew what it was. He knew that it was all in Christ Jesus. Nothing else mattered. Nothing else mattered to him. Reading in Philippians 3 and verse 7, he goes on to say, and these were read already and I appreciated it, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I'd like us to notice something this morning. Paul the Apostle did not count them loss for the doctrine of Christ. He did not count them loss for the word Christ. He did not count them loss for the name Christ. He counted them loss for Christ. And there's a big difference between that this morning. Paul the Apostle was in love with Jesus. Paul the Apostle had been arrested on the road to Damascus by Jesus. And he had forsaken everything for Jesus. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Why? That I may win Christ. Notice that. We'll get into that a little bit more in the message, but notice that. He counted all things but dung. He laid them all aside. Why? One motivation was in his heart and life. He wanted to win Christ. That's all that mattered to him. He goes on in verse 9 to say, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul knew the difference between religion and Christ. Paul knew the difference between doing just for doing sake and doing out of a life well, it is hid with Christ in God. Paul knew the difference. He saw it so clearly. That was one of the burdens and motives of his whole life, that he someday would be found in him, in Christ, not having any of his own righteousness, but having the righteousness which is of God by faith, or the righteousness that flows out of a life with Christ Jesus. And Paul saw the difference. He knew the difference. It was very concerning to him that his life would be a life that flowed out of a life in Christ Jesus. And I think this morning it's good for us to also face the reality of that. Hold Christ up here this morning. Pull him down. Let him be the plumb line of our lives. And let all the things we say and do line up with him. Because it's a very easy thing to do. It's a very easy thing to do to pick up your Bible on a Sunday morning and come to church and put on the language of the Bible and say the right things and leave out of here this morning and go your own way and do your own things the rest of the week. But Paul, he was on Christ. He was stuck on Christ Jesus, and he saw the difference between the two of those. And the motivation of his heart and life was that he might be found in him. And that day, whatever day that was, when he died, that he might be found in him. And not just in him, but not having his own righteousness, but righteousness that flows out of him. He goes on to say some other motivations of his life. Notice again they center around Christ, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Him, his, and his. Four times in that verse. You see, Paul was all wrapped up in Christ Jesus. That's all that mattered to him. He wanted to know Christ. He wanted to know the power of his resurrection. He wanted to know the fellowship of his suffering. He wanted to be conformed unto the image of his death. Conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And he goes on to say, oh, brothers, not as though I have already attained, neither are already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is my life. That's all that matters to me. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I'm a man of one thing, he said. I'm a man of one motivation. I'm a man of one desire. This one thing I do. I forget the things that are behind, and I press toward the things that are before, and I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's all that mattered to Paul. You see, he met Christ back there in Acts chapter 9. And then as soon as he began to open his mouth, Christ came out of his mouth. And it was Christ that was the center of his life from the day of his birth in Jesus all the way to the day of his death. It was Christ. That's all that mattered to him. The Christian life is very simple. If you begin to grasp the reality of this, it's very simple. The simplicity of the Christian life, getting rid of everything that hinders me from Christ, adding on anything that helps me to Christ. There it is, young people, older brethren, all of us here. There is the Christian life right there. Moving out anything that hinders my walk with Christ and adding on anything that helps it. There's the discernment. But I think the reason why so many times we need guidance in these matters is because we do not see Him for who He is. We do not know Him in the reality of His power and the awesomeness of His glory and His holiness. And because we do not see Him, our hearts are not drawn after Him. And because our hearts are not drawn after Him, we lack the discernment to divide what is good and what is not good for our lives. So many times, we have to look to somebody older to give us some guidance. You don't need this. This will hinder your life in Christ. You should start doing this. When what God would want is that your heart would be so fixed on Christ and your love and your desire be so clearly on Him that you'd make your own decisions and put some of us other ones to shame. Hallelujah. That's the way it was with Paul. He saw the Christian life very simple. I'd like us also to notice the simplicity of conversion, lest we make this matter of conversion something that only a few can have. I think of the Ethiopian eunuch there out in the desert on the road to Gaza, out there reading the scriptures in the book of Isaiah. Philip joined himself to the chariot. What did he find that man doing? Reading out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And the Bible says that Philip began from that very place and preached unto him Jesus. And it doesn't seem to me as I read the context there that very much time went by. And here they found some water. And the eunuch says, well, here's some water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip looked at him and said, if you believe with all your heart, you may be. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Something to that effect. And Philip and the eunuch went down out of the chariot and he baptized him. I think of the Philippian jailer there who fell on his knees before Paul and Silas and said, men and brethren, what must I do to be saved? Oh, they answered him with such a complicated word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. The simplicity of conversion. I think of my own. I didn't know anything. I had no Bible knowledge. I only had a couple verses that my aunt gave me. But when I repented and cried out to God and asked Christ to be my Savior, my whole life was changed. The simplicity of conversion. Oh, listen. An illustration was shared with me the other day that shows the simplicity of conversion. A brother down in Tennessee has a daughter that's deaf. I think she's about 18 years old now, but at the time she was 15 or 16. At the time that she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. But you know, deaf people, they can't communicate quite the same way we do. Some of them can say some words, but the words come out very simple. Hear her testimony about her conversion to Christ Jesus. Rachel, go. Pray, pray. Rachel, sad, sad. Rachel, lay down and cry. Rachel, go. Pray, pray. Rachel, sad, sad. Rachel, think. Jesus died long ago. Rachel, free. There's her testimony. Is that our testimony this morning? Have we made it so complicated? Have we tried to figure it all out intellectually? You'll never figure it out intellectually. You wise fool, why don't you become a fool that you may become wise in Christ Jesus? Lord, give us a simple mind like Rachel had. Rachel, cry. Rachel, pray. Rachel, sad. Jesus died long ago. Rachel, free. Amen. About a year later, after her conversion, some individualists came into this man's house, and like they so often do, they come selling their doctrinal wares everywhere they go. And this man was presenting a confused layout of plans of doctrine and what Christianity was, and Rachel was sitting there listening in her simple little mind, and she got a piece of paper out, and she wrote on the piece of paper two little words, and walked over and gave it to her daddy and went out of the room. Daddy picked up the little piece of paper and looked at it to read it, and all it said was two words, another gospel. Rachel knew. She knew. She knew the simplicity of Christ Jesus. She knew that wasn't the way she knew Jesus. And she knew that was a different kind of gospel than saved her soul. Brothers and sisters, this morning the gospel is simple. It's so simple that a deaf girl who doesn't have a lot of understanding can open up her heart and turn in repentance over her needs and turn to Christ and believe and be saved. And by the way, that's how you go on in the Christian life also. It doesn't get any more complicated, or it doesn't have to. The Christian life is real simple. Christ, in reality, in you, is the hope of glory. Christ, in reality, in you, that's the hope of glory. That's all there is to it. You just keep it that way. You get up tomorrow morning and say, Christ, be in me, in reality, and you'll have the hope of glory. That's it. It's as simple as that. Paul was jealous over this simplicity. It came out in his concern over the churches. If we could just look at a few examples of that. First of all, in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1 through 4. He was jealous. Oh my, he was jealous over those churches, you see. He had problems. He'd go to these places. He'd go to Corinth. He'd go to Ephesus. He'd go to Colossae. And he'd go there and preach. And he just preached Christ. He just preached the simple gospel to them. And he did it under the anointing of the Spirit of God. And people believed what he said. And their lives were changed. And he'd start a church with those who believed. But then after Paul left, others came in behind him and started to confuse the whole thing and started telling him things like, that's okay, that's good. Yes, it's Christ, but you need circumcision also. If you don't have circumcision, you ain't going to make it. Paul had problems like that. Hear his jealous heart. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them. Paul was jealous over the Corinthian church, jealous for one thing, that they not be moved away from the simplicity that is in Christ. May we be jealous over our own lives this morning, that we not be moved away from the simplicity that is in Christ. There's all kinds of lies if you get into the complicated Christian life. But the simplicity is easy to understand. But I'll tell you what it'll cost you. It'll cost you your very life every day if you want to live in the reality of the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And I'm afraid too many times we don't want to live in that kind of reality. We don't want to give our very life. So we choose a bunch of other things and we build a Christianity of things. And I'm not against things. I believe our Christianity ought to have meat on it. But let the meat flow out of the life of Christ. And that's what Paul's concern was. He was so concerned and jealous that they would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians also. We can see him admonishing them again. It seems the Corinthians were a weak church. But I think it's interesting for us to note how Paul corrected that weak church. He'd give them a correction and preach Christ to them. Then another correction. Then he'd preach Christ again. Then he'd give them another correction and preach Christ again. He knew how to get them established. He knew what they needed. Reading in 1 Corinthians 15, we'll read verse 3 and 4 and then go back to 1 and 2. Here we see the gospel in its simplicity. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now let's go up to verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And then he goes on to give the simple gospel. That was the gospel that Paul preached to those people. And here he comes to them again and says, you know the gospel that I preached to you, the one that you received, the one that you're standing in, and the one that will keep you all the way to the day of Jesus Christ, if you keep it in memory. Paul was keeping them fixed right on Christ. Nothing else mattered. It's Christ. Let's turn just for a moment to Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. We see again the simplicity of the doctrine of Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There we see salvation, and there we see our sanctification. There we see our present salvation, and there we see our continuous salvation. It's in the same thing, exactly the same. We are justified by faith, and we have peace with God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. There is where salvation comes. But where do we get the grace to be sanctified day by day by day? Where do we get the grace to live a holy life? Where do we get the power to go on in the Christian life? It's the same place. By whom? In Christ also. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There it is again in its simplicity. Paul saw that. He was jealous over that. That the people would not be moved away on either side from the simplicity that was in Christ Jesus. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. And Colossians chapter 2, we're going to read a few verses here. But I'd like you to notice, just before we go into the reading of it, that this simplicity is not shallow. This simplicity is not shallow. In fact, the depth of the knowledge of Christ Jesus They are available to the child of God who will not be moved away from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. But simplicity is not shallow. It's very deep. Notice what he says, again, writing to another church. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. What is the conflict? That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See there, Paul was jealous again. Here he saw his people. They had many needs in their life. Here we sit this morning, a people with many needs in our lives. Many times I hear the prayers coming up out of prayer meetings. Oh God, meet the needs that are among us. Meet the one that's struggling. Meet the one who's fainting in heart. Meet the one who's lost their way. We hear Paul saw a people who had many needs. But he also knew where the depth of the riches of the wisdom and treasures were. He knew they were in Christ Jesus. And he wanted to keep the people right there. And his prayers were directed that they would stay right there. And his admonitions were directed that they would stay right there. Because Paul knew, right there, in that simplicity, oh, they can go digging for gold. They can find the depth of wisdom. They can find treasures in Christ Jesus. They can find their all in all in Christ. And Paul knew that. So he prayed in that direction, and he preached in that direction.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 6 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at the Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear a menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.